Oh, thank you, Savannah, for sharing that spoken word with us. What a great reminder to all of us that no matter where we find ourselves, our God is big enough and our God is good enough to get us through it. Next Sunday, we're beginning a brand new series called I Got This. And it's all about God's goodness and the fact that no matter what we're going through in life, God is big enough and He is good enough to get us through it. So while God doesn't always take us out of our problems, He will always get us through our problems. So we're going to be talking about issues like moving from anxiety to peace, from confusion to clarity, from depression to joy, from addiction to freedom. All of these things are the things we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. So I invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 o'clock. So whatever you might be going through today, I want you to know you're not alone. You're not alone. You are dearly, dearly, deeply loved by God. And God shows His love to us in so many different ways, but one of the main ways that God has demonstrated and proven His love for us is the fact that His Son Jesus came into this world and He laid down, freely laid down His life for us on the cross. So He gave up His life in order that we might have life ourselves. At the end of my message this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you've not done this already, to invite Jesus Christ into your life. And I know for many of you, you're going to respond to this because deep inside, we all know there's something more and we all know we need the Lord. Today, we're celebrating the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we're remembering this not only as a historical reality, we're also celebrating the fact that this is a present power, that there is power in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. There is power in that to still change lives today. The death and resurrection of Jesus are without a doubt the two most important events in all of history. When Jesus died on the cross, when He rose from the dead, when He defeated death and stepped out of the tomb, a new day was dawning. Now, I don't know if you've happened to notice, but these last few days, we've had incredible sunrises in the Rogue Valley. And every time we see a sunrise, it's a reminder to us of the faithfulness of God. God is always bringing new things. And perhaps in your life right now, you've been through a period of darkness where it's felt like night. And I want you to know, in your life, a new day can dawn through Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at one of the things that Jesus said on the cross. As Jesus was hanging on the cross in agony, the gospel writers share with us seven different things that Jesus spoke. And we're going to look at just one of those things this morning. In John chapter 19 and verse 30, it says that Jesus said, "It is finished." It is finished. Three short words with a truckload of meaning. This was actually just one word in the Greek. The word was teleo. And the word teleo in the Greek language meant the completion of something. So it's a little different maybe from our word finished. Perhaps you've come home from a long day of work and you're so tired and exhausted, you get home and you declare, "I'm finished." Or another example would be when our three children were young and I would get home from a day of work and Janice would say, "I'm finished." Well, that is not the meaning of this Greek word that Jesus used. So another way that we might use the word finish would go something like this. You've been building a house for your family, and for the last 11 months, you've been working hard. After you get home from work, you're working on your new house. On weekends, you're working on your house. You've given up your vacation time to work on your house. Every spare cent that you've had has gone into building your house. You've canceled all of your plans. Every extra dollar, it's all gone into your house. And then finally, the day comes. You put on the final brush stroke of paint. You've driven the final nail. you've screwed in the last light bulb, and then you stand out on your brand new front lawn looking at your new home, and you say, it's finished. Well, that is the meaning of this Greek word that Jesus used on the cross. It is finished. So this wasn't a word of resignation or defeat. It was actually a word of victory. So we're going to ask the question today and answer the question, what is it? When Jesus said, it is finished, what is the it in it is finished? Now, clearly, when Jesus said, it is finished, he's not referring to his life, because Jesus knew his life wasn't finished. Jesus had already told his disciples that he was going to die, but that 3 days later, he was going to rise from the dead. So when Jesus says, it is finished, he's not talking about his life, because Jesus was not finished. And that is such a great picture and reminder for all of us, church, that God always has the last word. God always has the final word. And I know for some of you, you need to hear that. And I want you to remember, whenever you get some bad news or it looks wrong in your life, I want you to remember the empty tomb. And remember that God always has the final word. So your doctor, and I love doctors, I appreciate doctors, but I want you to remember, your doctor does not have the final word. God does. Your banker does not have the final word. God does. Your lawyer doesn't have the final word. God does. Even your undertaker doesn't have the final word. God does. And through Jesus Christ, we know that no matter what is going on in our lives, God is big enough and God is good enough to handle it. The final word always belongs to God. So, this word, it, if it's not referring to Jesus' life, what is it? What is it? Well, it represents a whole bucket load of things, more things than we could ever cover in an entire day if we talked about it all day. But the bottom line is this. Everything that was lost in the Garden of Eden, Jesus reclaimed through his death and resurrection. Jesus once said this. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus was referring to everything that was lost when Adam and Eve chose their way over God's way, and they rebelled against the command of God. So everything that was lost in the Garden of Eden, Jesus came to restore. And in fact, there is nothing that's been lost that God has not or will not in the future restore. The devil will not even get one molecule of victory. God is making all things right. So I want to give you three specific things today, though. Three specific things that when Jesus said, it is finished, this is what he was talking about. The first one, I'm going to take the most obvious one. When Jesus said, it is finished, he's referring to the finality of death. The finality of death was finished when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Isaiah chapter 25 says this, and Isaiah wrote 800 years before the coming of Jesus. He wrote this amazing prophetic word. On this mountain, this was a reference to the city of Jerusalem. On this mountain, he, the Messiah, will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Oh, wow. So Isaiah is describing death as the shroud, as this sheet that's covering, it's hovering over all people all over the world. So there's this mystery surrounding death and this fear that comes along with it, an uncertainty. And so Jesus now has pulled back the curtain and let us see what is behind it. And he's let us know we don't need to be afraid of death, that just as he has defeated death through his death and resurrection, we now have life. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, says, since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. You know, one of the crazy things during this time that we're in, and maybe you've been a part of this, and so you're living this, but maybe you haven't even thought of this, but we're not able to get together and have funeral services, memorial services. So here at Bethel Church, for example, we've had two church family members pass away in the last couple of weeks, and it's already hard enough, but now we can't do any kind of celebration of life together as a community, so it makes that a little extra hard. But I want to remind you this morning that even though we're not able to do a celebration of life, I want to remind you today, there's no doubt in my mind, the celebration has already begun. The moment those folks entered the kingdom of God, the celebration has begun. And they are now rejoicing in their reward. Through Jesus Christ, death no longer has the final word. It is finished. It is finished. And I hope at home right now you are standing on your feet dancing. All right. Something else that was finished when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, a second thing that was finished was the dominion of Satan. The dominion of Satan. You know, there's been a lot of kind of funny little memes and things like that out there. And I think, you know, that is a great way sometimes that we deal with some of the things that we're going through is by keeping a good sense of humor. One of the ones that I saw this last week that I really liked said this, "Today the devil whispered in my ear, 'You're not strong enough for this storm.' And I shouted out, 'Get behind me at least 6 feet, devil.'" I love it. Satan has been defeated. And his reign of terror has been ended by the cross and the resurrection. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15 says this, "Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Oh, I've got more. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 says, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers," that's the devil, "the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." Love it. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." But wait, I got more, folks. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, "God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Come on, give a shout, church. We have the victory through Jesus Christ. The victory has already been won. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are still trying to get the victory. I remember as a young Christian, some of the saints in the church, you'd ask them, how are you doing? And some of them would say, "Well, I'm trying to get the victory. I'm trying to get the victory." This, I have come to realize, is the wrong approach, because we're not trying to get the victory. Jesus has already won the victory. The great missionary Amy Carmichael wrote this, "We live from victory, not toward victory." I love it. So I want you to know, church, No matter what you might be going through this morning in your life, I want you to know we've got the victory because Jesus has won the victory for us. Yeah. And then let me give you one more thing that Jesus meant when he said, "It is finished." Another thing that was finished is the stranglehold of sin, the stranglehold of sin. Now, there are those who would try to deny the reality of sin, but come on, don't we see the devastating results of sin all around us in our world? Secular sociologists will tell us that we're all nothing more than a product of our environment. But experience has shown us that there are those who have grown up in extremely impoverished, immoral environments who have an innate sense of right and wrong. And there are people who have grown up in excellent environments who have no personal moral compass. Sin, according to the Bible, is a part of the human condition that we all share. The Bible says we have all sinned. And we don't need to look far to see the devastating results of sin, do we? Because all we have to do is really take an honest look at our own lives. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So there's a lot of terrible things about sin. It destroys lives. Sin ruins relationships. It's costly. It's destructive. It's painful. But the bottom line is this. This is the most devastating result of sin. Sin created a relational rift between God and humankind. Because God is holy and man is sinful, there's a relational rift there. And that is why Jesus came. Jesus came into this world to put an end to that relational rift. One of the amazing things that happened the moment Jesus died on the cross, it's recorded for us in Matthew 27. There's several amazing things that happened, but in Matthew 27, when Jesus died, I mean, the instant that Jesus gave up his last breath, it says this, Matthew 27 and verse 50, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life." Wow! So all this amazing stuff happened when Jesus died on the cross. I underlined one for you because this is the picture that I want you to get in your hearts today. The temple, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now that curtain in the temple served as a visual reminder of this rift in the relationship between God and humankind. Because past this curtain, nobody was allowed to go past this curtain except for the high priest, and he could only do that once a year. So it stood as this picture of separation. But the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain, God tore it. Notice it says from top to bottom, God tore that curtain right down the middle, letting us know that that rift has been taken care of by the cross. It's an amazing thing. You can almost hear God saying, "Wait, wait, you can't come in yet. Wait, 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 no, you can't come in yet. Wait." And then the moment Jesus died on the cross, God said, "Okay, you can come in now." Yeah. When Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, the stranglehold of sin has been broken and we don't have to live in it any longer. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, another Greek word, wow, two Greek words in one message. That's because it's Easter, you get a bonus today. This word ransom is a Greek word lutron, which means to loosen something. It means to untie something that's been tied up. And so Jesus, when he died on the cross and he rose from the dead, he took the chains of sin and he broke those chains and set us free. He came to set us free from the grip that sin had on us. And this is something that you will never be able to do on your own. Neither can I. It's too big for us. I remember as a young person growing up in grade school, one of the things that we always had to do in PE, and I think we would do this two or three times a year. I don't think they do it anymore, but two or three times a year, you'd have to climb the rope. And so the whole class would be standing around when it was your turn. Now, in my gym, we only had one rope. And the whole class would be standing around. The teacher would be standing there with a clipboard. And it's either pass or fail. You can either climb the rope or you can't. And every year, I could not climb that rope. I mean, my friends were doing it. They're having a great time. I'd get up there and I'd pull and pull. And I'd get like one third up and I'd just slide back down to the bottom. And my whole class would be watching, and I could see the teacher, you know, look disappointed and checking off, you know, my name in the box. It was not a good experience. Well, listen, I want you to know, if you're going to try on your own to get to heaven, you might as well be trying to climb a rope all the way to the moon. It just ain't happening. You're not doing it on your own. But I've got good news for you today. What we were unable to do with our own efforts, Jesus has done for us. What was absolutely impossible for us is completely possible for God. And one of the great pictures of the grace of God saving us is found right there at the crucifixion. Remember when Jesus was crucified, there were two other people that were crucified. They were two criminals, one on his left side and one on his right side. And as the hours went on, one of those criminals had a change of heart. Perhaps it was something about the way Jesus was behaving. God was speaking to his heart. There was something that changed his heart as he's hanging on a cross dying. And he says to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." I mean, what a simple, simple little prayer. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. But it was a prayer of faith. He's acknowledging that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Remember me, Lord. And Jesus' response to that prayer, what an awesome response. Jesus didn't say, "No, you know, you've made your own bed, now you're going to have to sleep in it." Jesus says to this criminal, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now listen, my point in telling that story is this. There was nothing this man did to earn his way to heaven. He couldn't come down off the cross and prove his sincerity. There was no time to get things straightened out in his life. He had no opportunity to apologize to the people he had hurt. He had no chance to go to church, to give in an offering. Nothing. This man had nothing to give. But he responded to Jesus in faith, and Jesus says, "Today you're going to be with me in my kingdom." Now listen, I want you to know, we all get to heaven the same way this man went. We all get to heaven one way. We all get there by, we don't get there by being good or being religious. We don't even get there by being really sorry for the things that we've done. We get there one way and one way only, and that is through the cross. It's through Jesus. He is the only way. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And so perhaps you're watching today, you're listening to this message, and you've come to realize you need the dawn of a new day in your life. I want you to know there's good news. There's hope for you. God loves you. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're doing, God loves you. He cares about you. And Jesus died on a cross because he cares about you. He loves you so much. And everything that needs to be accomplished in order for you to be a Christian, in order for you to have your sins forgiven, in order for you to go to heaven. Everything that needs to be accomplished, Jesus already did, and that's what Jesus meant when he said, "It is finished." And so the only question remaining is, what are you going to do with what Jesus has already done? Are you going to receive that, or are you going to turn your back on the free gift of God? Right now, I'm going to take a moment to lead you in a prayer. And perhaps you've never prayed this prayer. You've never prayed to receive Christ into your life. Or perhaps you have at some point in your life, but you know you haven't been walking with the Lord. I want you to know this morning, it's not too late for you. It's not too late for you. God is right here, right now. He's right with you in your living room, wherever you're watching this service. He's right there. And the moment that you open up your heart to him, Jesus Christ is going to come into your life, and it's going to be the dawning of a new day. So I want to encourage you to pray this prayer along with me. Just bow your heart, bow your head before the Lord right where you're at, and pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I know I need something to change, and I've come to realize that I can't change myself. Jesus, I believe you love me. You love me so much that you came into this world and you died on a cross for me. And I also believe that you have risen from the dead and you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus, today I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the King of my heart. God, I am so sorry for my sins. And I humbly ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I open the door of my heart and I invite you to come into my life today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.